give thanks to the Lord, our God and King. Love endures forever, for she is good, she is above all things. Love endures forever, sing praise, sing praise. With a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, love endures forever, for the life that's been reborn. Her love endures forever, sing praise, sing praise, sing praise, sing praise. Forever God is faithful, forever God is strong, forever God is with us, forever. Forever. From the rising to the setting sun, her love endures forever. By the grace of God, we will carry on. Her love endures forever. Sing praise, sing praise. Sing praise, sing praise. Forever God is faithful, forever God is strong, forever God is with us, forever, forever.
Welcome to MSWAY. It's been about 17 odd years since Chris Tomlin released that song. It's been played millions of times all around the world, and it's never been played one single time here. There are probably a lot of good reasons for that. I think the triumphalism, like any recording I could find of that song, just... Joss Bussman wrote a whole dissertation about this, just the sort of acoustic triumphalism that embeds both that song and the context that it comes from. I think has made many of us uncomfortable. It's something some of us have fled from in many cases. But also, we're talking this week with Suze about continuing this Lenten conversation in the Psalms, and that was like the first song that she brought up and basically said, yeah, if we're going to grapple with the Psalms and what they say about God and different notions of that, then it seems like a lot of us probably have to grapple with this very sentiment and with the context that it comes from. And so, yeah, that's kind of why we started our gathering with that tonight, and hopefully maybe doing things a little different tonight. Molly will say more about that in a minute, but this week, in the third or so week of grappling with the Psalms during Lent, taking this lectionary Psalm 107 and really spending a long time inside of it with testimony and song, and the text itself, and letting those things bounce off of each other, and continue asking, yeah, what are the ways we're being asked or invited or suggested to engage with God in the Psalms? Which of those make us comfortable? Which of those make us less comfortable? And what do we do with trying to reconcile those two? So yeah, that's what you stepped into tonight. Glad you're here. If you're really new, my name is Ben. I'm on staff here along with Molly and Elizabeth and Mark and Tim. I think Mark is... That's actually, yeah, do we want to, I wasn't planning on doing that right now, but yeah, let's hear an update about how Mark and folks are doing.
Yes, Soren had his bone marrow transplant on Thursday, and it's successful, went really, really well. I'm sure if you, they have a Facebook group, Sweet Soren's Transplant Journey, anyone can follow, as well as Lots of Helping Hands. They're, Chelsea saw them on Saturday, yesterday, and their spirits seem to be... Carmen this week, Soren will start using his hair and start having more side effects from the chemotherapy. So just be praying for them with that. Now they can occupy a toddler. And basically, they have like a janitor's closet that's kind of the size of the hospital. So that's a new I think they're doing as well as the news.
Yeah, and if you're not getting updates, there's this Lots of Helping Hands site, which Mark sent out two very robust updates in the last week or so that I'm sure are, yeah, a lot more information than that, a lot more about where their head's at and how they're feeling. I think either Chelsea or Molly could get you on that. And yeah, Soren is one of our kids, and we love our kids, and they've been leading us through this lectionary season of Lent with, yeah, some prayers and songs. So I'll let Rhody lead us into that.
Join me in singing the community song. It's to the tune of Come Thou Fount.
Lead my eyes, Lord, teach me, show me, make me know your ways are good. I am lonely, trying, turning, help me choose the love I should. Be my friend, Lord, I have known you, waited for you all day long. You are God of my salvation, I lift up my soul and song.
And for those who are just joining us, this is a prayer that the kids, they helped me brainstorm together, and then we kind of turned it into this call response. So I will read, if y'all read the bold, I'll read, and me and the kids will read the plain part. There are many times of the year, God, times for planting, times for harvesting,
times for crying, times for laughing,
times to be quiet, times to speak up,
times to destroy, and times to construct.
And each time, give us what we can handle.
No more, no less.
When we ask why me,
be beside us.
When we follow you into the wilderness,
don't let us rush through too fast.
Amen.
Thanks so much, kids, for leading us this Lenten season. For those of you that don't know me, I'm Molly. Ooh, I can't work this. I'm one of the pastors of Emmaus Way. Exciting news in the life of our other pastor, Tim Condor. He turned in his dissertation to his committee on Thursday, which is really exciting. And he defends on March 26th, and our Emily McLean defends on the 27th. So in 24 hours, we have two EWA folks becoming doctors. Which is exciting. So Tim is not hopeful, like I don't want to jinx it, but yeah, it's an exciting week. And it's also Holy Week, so take that for what it is. And Tim is taking some spring break. It's his spring break. He's taking time at the beach with Kenan and Kendall and Mimi, not behind a computer screen. So that's where he is tonight. Also wanted to make you aware that Gail Thomas's mother, Beth, passed away on Thursday, and for those of you that might be able to make it, Beth's memorial service will be Tuesday at 2 p.m. at Christ United Methodist Church in Chapel Hill, and we just know that we are holding you all in love, light, and prayer during this time, especially your father also. So wanted everyone to be aware of that. Let's see. Are there any other announcements? For those that are new and you're curious about our church, you can fill out a yellow card. It's on our back welcome table. And for those of you who really believe and have been touched and moved by what Emmaus Way is doing and who we are, you can always help contribute to the Emmaus Way economy. We don't pass the bowl, but there is a metallic bowl in the back where we take contributions, or you can give online at emmausway.net. I think that's it. But as Ben mentioned, tonight is a bit different. If you couldn't tell by starting off with Chris Tomlin. Yeah, it's been a long time since I had heard that song. But tonight, our lectionary psalm, as we're working through the psalms, is Psalm 107. And some call this psalm a call to reflection, weighted heavily toward communal praise. One scholar notes that this psalm disrupts our arrogant certitude that we can control the future. Also going on to say it subverts our hubristic confidence. And I might add, this psalm makes some of us, at least makes me, slightly uncomfortable because it forces us to think about the tension between affective speech for God and who God is and reason. And so as we were processing Psalm 107 during text team this week with all of these realities and tensions and knowing that Suze was up to play and thought she might be up for something different, we thought, why not try? So after a brief passing of the piece, we're going to engage in a longer intentional time of reflection using this text, this psalm, songs, and testimony from the community. Each working together and in tension with one another to slowly, emotively, and perhaps for some of us, a bit skeptically, process the claims made by this psalmist. And as you listen and reflect and process, I want you to think about this question. Can you find a way to sing, believe, and embody these words of the psalmist about who God is and how God acts in good conscience? Or, put another way, and you'll find this one in your bulletin, how do we get these words of the psalmist in our mouth in a way that doesn't feel false? We're going to dialogue with those questions during our time of confession. But as we enter this time and space of song, text, and testimony, perhaps we can keep in mind the wisdom of Polly Murray. Hope is a song in a weary throat. Give me a song of hope and a world where I can sing it. Give me a song of faith and a people to believe in it. May it somehow, some way, be so for us tonight as we engage this psalm with all our discomfort and hope. But first, let us pass the peace. Greet someone who you haven't seen in a while. Grab a snack. Get some coffee. Actually, don't grab a snack. There is no food. I forgot to buy popcorn. grab some coffee or water. Talk to someone around you, and we'll be back in just a few minutes.
Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. For his steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Those he redeemed from trouble and gathered in from the lands, from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south.
Children, I have called you son. What is there to answer when I'm the only one? Morning comes in paradise, morning comes in light. Still I must obey, still I must invite. If there's anything to say, if there's anything to do, if there's any other way, I'll do anything for you. I was dressed in embarrassment. I was dressed in wine. If you had a part of me, will you take your time? Even if I come back, even if I die, is there some idea to replace my life? Like a father to impress, like a mother's morning dress. If you ever make a mess, I'll do anything. I have called you preacher, I have called you son. If you have a father or if you haven't one, I'll do anything for you. 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 I did everything 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 for you.
Some wandered in desert wastes, finding no way to an inhabited town. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted within them. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way until they reached an inhabited town. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wonderful works to humankind, for he satisfies the thirsty and the hungry, he fills with good things.
During the many days that we waited for our son, the dark, dark days turned into months. 27. There was not a lot of good to be had in those days. The second half of them, I felt like waking up in the morning, showing up at work, coming to church. It was kind of like being in the Roman Colosseum and just struggling to survive with blood and sweat and tears. But I heard from the likes of Marsha Owen that if you can't make something good, then make it beautiful. And my sister Rachel is here today. My friend Kelly lives in Pittsburgh. My friends Trigger and Jess, that many of you know, and this community all made it beautiful. And where God's steadfast love takes.
This next song kind of encounters the Bible and the language that we try to use to talk about what God is doing in our lives, and then waking up to realize that maybe we use some words and we're not even sure if we believe them.
You gave voice to the world around you, put words in her mouth. She said thank you. You described the birds in the yard with playful verbiage, proper grammar. But who? I'm a doubter, Thomas. And who? Nothing I can do about it. You gave rise to a thousand rainstorms, put glints in the eye, taste lips on the tongue. You arrive at 5 in the morning and scribe that sunrise. You had dreams of the apocalypse, just bulls pawing holes in the front yard. You took notes through your pinhole camera and woke to find the world on fire. But oh, I'm a doubter, Thomas, and who, tell me what to do about it. These knots around us.
Some sat in darkness and in gloom, prisoners in misery and in irons, for they had rebelled against the words of God and spurned the counsel of the Most High. Their hearts were bowed down with hard labor. They fell down with no one to help. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness and gloom and broke their bonds asunder. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wonderful works to humankind. For he shatters the doors of bronze and cuts in two the bars of iron.
There's two identities that are really meaningful to me, and I've got them both within a couple weeks of each other. Professor and mother. After a miscarriage, I got pregnant with my son, and I came on a job interview, and a week later found out I was pregnant. And then I got the job and stayed pregnant that time, and then I found out I was due 10 days before my start date. And this felt like misery and irons and gloom, because there's no blueprint for how to do that. But I am redeemed because I kept my sanity. I feel like God said, you can do both of these things. I've called you to do both these things. I've called you to be both these people, despite what can feel like iron and chains, because it's not supposed to be that way. Our culture hasn't made that an easy road to travel. So let the redeemed say, so I'm standing, my son is relatively well adjusted. He still loves me, I still have my job, and I can do all of these things through Christ.
Like a bird, although high, like a drunk in a midnight choir. I have tried in my way to be free. Like a worm on a hook, like a knight from some old-fashioned book. I have saved all my ribbons for thee. If I have been unkind, I hope you can just let it go by. If I have been untrue, I hope you know was never to you. Like a baby stillborn, like a beast with his horn, I have torn everyone who reached out for me. But I swear by this song and by all beggar leaning on his wooden crutch, he said to me, "You must not ask for so much." And a pretty woman leaning in her darkened door, she cried to me, "Hey, why not ask for more?" Like a bird on the wire, like a drunk in a midnight choir, I have tried in my way to be free.
Some were sick through their sinful ways, and because of their iniquities, endured affliction. They loathed any kind of food, and they drew near to the gates of death. And then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He sent out his word and healed them and delivered them from destruction. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love and for his wonderful works to humankind. And let them offer thanksgiving sacrifices and tell of his deeds with songs of joy.
Isis is about self-hate. This is about that time I was outed and lost my closest friends and my faith. Give me some poetic license here. When everything was reduced to flesh or dirt or predetermined biology and physics, he made dignity more than a conceit, dared me to deny there was beauty around us. Without my permission, she just kept imbuing all things, especially things in the margins, with sparks of the divine. When there were no easy answers, when nothing made sense and everything was pain, he showed me paradox, made me rest in it till it was comfort, until it became a rich soil. She made even dissonance something that could be excellent, something complete or completing. He laughed and cried with me, or she didn't and she never had, because even while I didn't and just can't believe, he knows I should live in the midst of others. What does it mean to go from strength to strength? Bring the periphery into focus, protect what is fragile, forgive your past selves. Let the redeemed of the Lord say we are always worth redeeming. She keeps putting me where two or three are already gathering, and I am glad for it.
I wanted to make sure that we did a story song because this psalm speaks to so many stories, all these little lives that get one sentence in the psalm, we know that it is far more like we've been doing it here this evening, where you could stand up and you could tell a whole tale. But the other thing I like about this song is that it reflects a thought that I often have when I am in the depths, where I cannot with my imagination figure out how this is possibly going to work out. And when it does work out, right, the solution, the path through, was something that I could not have imagined. And I like the song because it speaks to the path that we couldn't have imagined possibly working, but it turns out that it was all right after all, I guess. Delta Mama and a Nick Jack man raised the Cumberland daughters in a Tennessee bay. Played spring water at Station Inn, couldn't play fast, couldn't fit in. Caught a 66 Dodge in Caroline. Got her education on a mama's dime. She was singing in a bar called Comatose, halfway rusted on a salty coast. Rock of Ages, cleave for me. Let me hide myself in thee, buried in the sand. 500 miles from Birmingham. Well, rock a mountain cowboy and a rock and roll band, plucked his amplifier in across the land. Athens, Georgia on a Friday night, so that little girl, she could sing all right. Spent 5 years going from town to town, waiting on that little girl to come around. Caught in the arms of New York City, to lose that gal seemed a terrible pity. Rock of Ages, cleave for me. Let my heart forget a bead. Why do you demand calling me from Birmingham? Well, pulled her cover, walking off the BQE, said, this'll be the last you ever see of me. Well, the cowboy laughs and no, it's not true, cause there's nothing I could do to get loose from you. Made a little money playing in the bars with two beat-up drums and two old guitars. From the Crescent City to the Great Salt Lake, it ain't what you got, it's what you make. When the road got rough and the wheels all broke, couldn't take more than we could tow. Making something out of nothing with a scratch and a hope. Two old guitars like a shovel and a rope. Rock of Ages, cleave for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Now I understand on better terms since Birmingham.
Some went down to the sea in ships, doing business on the mighty waters. They saw the deeds of the Lord and his wondrous works in the deep. For he commanded and raised the stormy wind, which lifted up the waves of the sea. They mounted up to heaven. They went down to the depths. Their courage melted away in their calamity. They reeled and staggered like drunkards and were at their wits' end. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out from their distress. He made the storm be still, and the waves of the sea were hushed. Then they were glad because they had quiet, and he brought them to their desired haven. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love and for his wonderful works to humankind. Let them extol in the congregation of the people and praise him in the assembly of the elders.
God of Hagar, God who sees, hear my cry and look at me. I've been silent, I am weak. God who sees me, God who sees. God of Esther, God of Ruth, tell me, Lord, why I've been taken, I've been bruised, and I did what I had to do. And I believe that I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Yes, I believe that I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. God of Tamar, God who bleeds, no one listens when I speak. I'm ashamed and not believed. God who bleeds, oh God who bleeds. God of every daughter's birth, have cut her into pieces, spread her across the earth. I am hurting. I who hurt, God of every precious birth. And I believe that I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Yes, I believe that I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And we believe that we will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. We believe that we will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living.
He turns rivers into a desert, springs of water into thirsty ground, a fruitful land into a salty waste because of the wickedness of its inhabitants. He turns a desert into pools of water, a parched land into springs of water, and there he lets the hungry live, and they establish a town to live in. They sow fields and plant vineyards and get a fruitful yield. By his blessing, they multiply greatly, and he does not let their cattle decrease. When they are diminished and brought low through oppression, trouble, and sorrow, he pours contempt on princes and makes them wander in trackless wastes. But he raises up the needy out of their distress and makes their families like flocks. The upright see it and are glad, and all wickedness stops its mouth. Let those who are wise give heed to these things and consider the steadfast love of the Lord.
Thanks to the Lord, our God and King, who love endures forever. For she is good, she is above all things, who love endures forever. Sing praise, sing praise. With a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, love endures forever. For the life that's been reborn, love endures forever. Sing praise, sing praise, sing praise, sing praise. For God is faithful, forever God is strong, forever God is with us, forever, forever. From the rising to the setting sun, her love endures forever. By the grace of God, we will carry on. Her love endures forever. Sing praise, sing praise, sing praise, sing praise. Forever God is faithful. With us forever.
Thanks so much, Suze and Sarah and Alon and Russell and Emily and Ben, for leading us in that extended time of reflection on this psalm. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I am curious about how we get these words of the psalmist in our mouth in a way that doesn't feel false. But I think the way to get at that question is for you all to be able to share about what's resonating right now after that series, that extended time of reflection. Perhaps, what are you feeling? Or, I always like to engage the senses. What did you hear? What did you see? What did you taste, touch, bit of a stretch? What did you smell, perhaps, metaphorically, hopefully? But yeah, what is resonating? What are you thinking about Psalm 107? About God, its redemption? Would just love to hear some thoughts.
That it doesn't come without scars.
It doesn't come without scars.
Yeah, just how close those scars are to the surface sometimes of friendships that are still not repaired from that time of trauma that we were in, and just how close that still feels, even though we have a son, that it's still, that memory is still very close. And even as we move forward to wanting more kids, that it's not a, it's still there, it's not a normal process. And,
how the scars, how close the scars are. Yeah, one thing I wrote that sort of came to life through this, for this psalm and hearing these testimony and Sue's, these songs. So I think sometimes we think, right, like the psalmist or this psalm is flat, or in some ways, like, right, like life is kind of flat, and maybe even God is flat, you know, like a flat character in literature, but how it isn't, right? How complex and textured and layered all of it is. Thanks. Others, what's resonating? What are you thinking about? Perhaps if there's tension for you.
I think for something to be redeemed, you have to let it be redeemed. And I think for, you know, I was thinking like, what has been redeemed? And there's a lot of time, right? But you don't want to let go of the pain too, because the pain is real, the pain is part of who you are.
Yeah.
And it makes you different. So how to let it be redeemed and then still hold on to the, to what it means and what it means in your relationships and who you are and how you understand the world and maybe your own compassion that grew from that. Or
yeah, for sure. No, I think, right, like what does it mean to be redeemed while also holding on to the reality and the pain of what was and what has been and perhaps what will be, right? And what is, I think, yeah, as I was thinking about this Tomlin song, oh, I was a bad Christian college student because I hated Chris Tomlin, but, and I think I, like, grunted when Sue suggested singing this song, but it worked really well, but I think why is this is just so damn happy. And it feels like there's no space for the pain that is also a part of it, right? So thank you for that. Others? Yeah, Joel.
So it seems like going to the story, it was like, well, it was tough, but it worked out.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't work out for everybody.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, was thinking of my friend who's about to turn 50 and really wanted to have a family, and she's still single.
Yeah.
And, you know, she missed her shot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I suppose, like, you know, she, you know, maybe they let you adopt her, but, like,
yeah,
she's never going to have her own biological family. Like,
yeah.
She's never gonna have.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure, right? And like, where is God in her narrative and that narrative? Yeah, it's like the I hate reading any text about being sick and being made well, because I will never be made well, right? And so it is, what does it mean when redemption doesn't mean a happy ending, right? And everything working out perfectly. Yeah. And how do we then, right, hold this song, this psalmist words in our mouth, honestly, when we all can probably point to, right, like people or situations in our own life where it isn't a happy or more whole ending. Thanks for that, Joel. Yeah.
Hey, Molly.
Uh-huh, Luke.
On a kind of related note, I think something that I really struggle with in this last portion of the psalm is that I feel like the things that the psalmist celebrates mm-hmm. are, like, to me, the seeds of our destruction. The multiplication and the more cities and the farming more land and... when you try to like read this through the lens that I probably am like a, you guys are probably getting tired of me talking about the climate change bend on things, but I have like I really like kind of like struggle with like who's the actor when, like, in the time of the psalmist, you like, it's like happenstance that a river turns into a desert.
Yeah.
And now we're doing it.
Yeah.
Like, we're making it happen.
Mm.
And that really makes it hard to put these words in my mouth.
Yeah. For sure. Kind of, how does the Where does the literal text, how does the literal text and the words of the psalmist fit with present day reality and destruction? And where, how does redemption, right? In some ways, what redemption looked like here really can't be what redemption looks like now. Or for our earth. Yeah. Thanks, Luke. Others. So I'm curious. Like, how do we get these words then, right? With all their complexities, with all the tension, with all the hope, with all the doubt, with all the imperfectness, right? Of the psalmist in our mouth in a way that doesn't feel false.
Experience in studying the prosperity gospel while going through like really intense stage 4 cancer and the crazy dynamics of that. And but the thing that repeats over and over and over here is thanking the Lord for his steadfast love. And while we all know that all sickness isn't a result of like sins that we have to rebuke or whatever, what stood out to me in hearing people speak recently is she was like, it's so weird to explain. And she's very, I love her honesty and candor, but she's like, I had so much peace. And I was so close, I don't think peace is the word. She said, I felt so much connection with God during that struggle. And it wasn't like, I love her book doesn't end with like, and I'm done. And it's very like, wait, she's going to die, like she's alive right now. It's like, kind of a confusing ending to me. But while she's talking and while she's very much like still in the thick of things, she talks about the communion that she's able to have. And I thought that was really beautiful.
That there can be communion even in the hard spaces, and perhaps what some might say, unredeemed spaces. Thanks, Jairus. So I'm curious, how do we get these words of the psalmist in our mouth, in our lives, in a way that doesn't feel false? Or do we? Do we just chuck this psalm? And Chris Tomlin, I don't know.
I guess I would add to what I was thinking about, having to let permission, give God permission to redeem or to, it's an act of humility. Mm. And these stories were such acts of humility, you know. Yeah. To just say, I don't know, it's just, to me, it's, I don't want to do that a lot of times, you know.
Yeah.
I want to hold on and be angry and and you are those things, but you have to
be open and,
and humble and vulnerable.
Humility, vulnerability, I think is a part. I kept on the honesty, right? Like, I think, like, in order to hold, I think we have to be honest with ourselves and with the realities of our life and this world and God and our doubt and complexity with God. Yeah. So thanks. No, I definitely think humility struck me. Others.
I think one thing that helps me with this God who seems, in this context, rather arbitrary sometimes with who gets what and why, that God, I hope that we don't simply have to trust that God to speak for himself. That God has ways of speaking that are not his arbitrary explanation of why, what happens when. And I look at this Leonard Cohen song, and one thing that I've always liked about it is that I saw a beggar leaning on his wooden crutch, and he said to me, "You must not ask for so much." A pretty woman, he cried, "Hey, why not ask for more?" My impulse at first is to try and like make those work together, but if I trust that there's a God that is God of all people, then both of those have something to say. And I think about a lot of the experiences I have around people working with the coalition who speak in ways about the God we both supposedly know that make me deeply uncomfortable. What he's up to, what he's done for them in spite of, in the midst of. But I've come to trust that God can speak through those voices, and they might have as much to say to me about whoever this God is as anything that I could parse in trying to put it all together in exactly what this psalmist is describing. Person.
Thanks for that, Ben. Others.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah, please. Please, please, ask away.
We asked about tensions.
So yeah, please, yeah.
The discussion in the song about irons and chains.
Yeah.
When I read the psalm in that context, it's hard for me not to read it, not for the tension of the legacy of slavery.
Yeah.
And how not only the psalms are different, but things in the Bible are used by slaveholders to justify the mentality. And so, like, I'm curious how you read the psalms today and wrestle with that historical legacy in that way.
Yeah.
And how you listen to it. hear God or reach God in any way through that? That's the question.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think, I think it's a really good, needed question that we all should be wrestling with if we aren't. And I don't have an answer. I do, though, personally. I think one thing for me and personally about this psalm and how people have used God to abuse and oppress in really violent, horrific ways and continue to do so. And I think why I struggle is, like, to me, it's like a very high overarching, like, sovereign, like the sovereignty of God, right? God is like immutable, like can't change, God sovereign, God has everything under control, which, yes, in some way that some ways that's comforting, right? But in other ways, I think that that level of power has been used to abuse, right? And so I have found process theology in the understanding of God that as really as we the people messing it up and how we're understanding things and using power, but the God as changing to be liberating for me. Monica Coleman is a brilliant womanist process theologian. Do you know her?
Oh. No way! Stop it! Stop it!
Well, basically, I'm just saying, Monica Coleman for me has been... Oh my gosh, I'm like crying! I love Monica Coleman so much! She has been and continues to be a voice and a perspective that helps me at least wrestle with these tensions more honestly. Her book, Making a Way Out of No Way, was life-changing for me in how I, as a white, straight female going into the ministry, right? Christianity, which is a pretty fucked up religion, right? Whenever it comes to oppression and killing people, and she became a liberating voice to have in conversation with this. But I'm sure, yeah, I won't recite her readings because I'm sure you know them. But yeah, right, I think that you add, and you speak honestly too, right, how can we read these texts and not think about, right, the legacies and the continued reality of slavery? How can we not read these texts and think about this one way, right, of like, the earth, and like the earth is always going to be, when in reality we're destroying creation? How can we read this text and think about it in honest ways when, yes, the redeemed of the Lord say so, and we have and continue to be redeemed, yet also we know people and perhaps even our own lives are deeply mourning and wondering, where are you, God? And I don't totally know how we hold all of that, but I think we must. And I think when I think about how do we get these words of the psalmist in our mouth in a way that doesn't feel false, I think that there is humility and vulnerability. I think there's a lot of honesty. And I think the thing with process, for me, with process theology, is this notion that the narrative, that the story of God, that God at work in the world, not only has redemption not stopped, but that God is forever changing and becoming and forever redeeming. Our lives, systems, principalities and powers that be, but that we too are players in that, right? And I think in some ways it would be dishonest for me not to have this psalm, at least in the back of my mind, if not always in my mouth. Because, yeah, I think we need to be honest, and we need to wrestle, and we need to say, I'm really sorry, I just realized that I cursed, said the F word for the second time from this stool. Right? Like, we really need to wrestle. But I'm also finding that let the redeemed of the Lord say so also means that I have to be able to hold my intellectual curiosity and my intellectual angst alongside these powerful stories of redemption and hope that it can still be. And I think that that is why I love so much Polly Murray's understanding that hope is a song in a weary throat. I don't think I'm ever going to probably belt Psalm 107 out. But I think I have hope in a God enough that I can sing it even in a weary throat. Yeah. So Marie wrote our absolution for tonight. And I am going to read that for us now. The psalmist has plunged us into the major drama of a people who become immersed in a holy forgiveness and then immerse themselves in thankfulness. They do not forget their God for long. What about us? On paper, we're middling individuals in a violent, rich nation. Our smaller dramas break our hearts, as they should. But if we were honest with ourselves, we expect the world as we know it to be safe. We cling to the constancy of a good enough existence. At what cost, we are too afraid to know. So, to be forgiven, how do we repent? To be thankful for the chance to be thankful? Like the first swim of the season, we dip our toes into cold waters, bashful of our soft winter flesh. As children, we learned to swim, which the first time felt like drowning and flying at once. Now, we're wrapped up in flotation devices, eyeing the pile of towels we left behind. Lower one foot, think about the next. We can't stay here, and even if we go in, swimming with a life jacket is not swimming. Children know this. Oh God, we do want life. The water is deep and wide, and in time will work itself into waves we cannot resist. It will be better to jump now. I think at Emmaus Way, week after week, our table is a place where we're saying to ourselves, to one another, We're going to jump now. We still have a lot of questions and a lot of doubt. Still have a lot of tension about who God is and how God does or does not act in the world. Probably a lot of us, I so loved what Russell said, are living and dealing with a God who is making us rest in paradox until it becomes a rich soil. But still we jump. Week after week, we come to this table with all of our complexities and our world's complexities and our text complexities and say, you know, not totally sure, but I think as the redeemed of the Lord, we can confidently say, we and all of creation are always worth redeeming. And so we jump and we break bread and we pour wine, not totally knowing what will come, but knowing even still in all of our angst and sorrow, there's a piece of us that can still be a bit humble and a little bit vulnerable to believe that maybe, just maybe, what this bread and this cup have represented and have meant and continue to represent and mean for us is worth living into. For we all, in one way or another, have been redeemed, now and forever. That is the open table that I invite you to. That is the open table I would invite Chris Tomlin to. Yeah, that is the open table I invite you to partake in, to wrestle with, and to know that at that table, the steadfast love of God is forever present. So let us go. Come, and if you're new at Emmaus Way, we feed one another, break bread, pour wine for one another. You can say the body of Christ broken for you, the love of Christ shed for you, or if you prefer, the love of God for you, the peace of God for you. And it's homemade bread by Neil and Marie. So enjoy for those of us who cannot do the gluten.